This is fine. This is a poor substitute for therapy, but an excellent substitute for other podcasts.
We're not like other podcasts.
Join us as we find the answers to the universe's biggest questions like, is butter a carb? Does crying burn calories? And what the fuck am I doing with my life? We're here to be your part-time therapist, astrologer, concierge doctor, and fairy godmother. Do you need someone to validate you today? Cool. Come on in. We're fine. This is fine.
Hello, my loves. It's the season of romance, and no matter where I'm at in my own love life, I seriously love Valentine's season. All things pink and soft and lovely and sweet. Feels very me. I love love. If you're feeling similarly, and perhaps you're looking for love right now, we've got a dating episode today for you. We brought in dating coach Dani Mejias, another Californian living in Paris, to teach us her number one tip for dating. She calls this tip a hypothesis, actually. We love a woman in STEM. It's called leading with sweetness, and I will let her explain that more in depth. Dani has a background in creative direction and branding. She literally did all the branding for Restoration Hardware, big slay. She also figured out the best way to essentially brand yourself, how to present yourself, and attract the quote-unquote right audience, so to speak. As a disclaimer, Dani is sharing from her own personal experience and who she personally coaches. This applies to the straight girlies, heterosexual women pursuing men. If this particular dynamic doesn't speak to you, don't worry. We will have some content coming soon that covers more of the spectrum. If you do happen to identify as a straight girly and you are looking for a boyfriend, husband, male partner, this is the episode for you. Let's dive into this romantic quest, this dating experiment as women in STEM. Let's get into dating with Dani.
Dani, thank you so much for joining us today on This Is Fine. Welcome to our fake studio.
Thank you for having me. I am thoroughly enjoying all the pink in here.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Does it feel on brand for you?
It feels, you know what? You helped me bring out my inner girly girl.
Oh my God.
Like, you allow me to be as girly as I actually want to be. So I really appreciate that.
Wait, that is such a huge compliment. Thank you so much.
I feel like we need more of that.
Well, welcome to my like tiny pink princess Polly Pocket house.
That's exactly what it feels like. A pink Polly Pocket clamshell.
Oh my God. The compliments keep coming. I'm blushing. But seriously, thank you so much for being here. We are just getting our American expat series going, bringing in new guests in Paris. And as I said in the intro, you're another California girly here in Paris.
I am. Just surfing straight into Paris.
I love it so much. But today is actually not part of the expat series. We can get to that on another episode.
Sure.
Today is about you teaching us how to channel some more love in our lives. Speaking of the feminine pink princess castle.
Well, that's one way to put it.
Yeah. So I would love for the listeners to get to know your personality a little bit more. Let's just talk first about how you got into coaching. You're coaching people with dating, life, career. You're so wise. I know this on a personal level, but let's talk about how you got into this field.
It's interesting because I've been in art and creative direction for the past 15 years, and it's always been part of the process of working with clients, working with even corporations. We all have a personality of sorts that needs to be uncovered, and branding's about authenticity.
Yeah.
I work deeply in branding, and you know, sometimes in our lives we have to seek out personal branding in order to develop our own authenticity and how we want to reflect our personalities to the world. And so I've been helping clients do that for years in order to visually represent their brand. But it also translates into our personal expressions of who we are, and then how we present ourselves in our relationships, in dating, to each other, through our communication styles. I mean, it just applies to so many things.
How we interface with the world.
Totally, how we interface with the world ends up becoming our own personal marketing exercise.
Yeah.
And I actually think the most important marketing we do is back to ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's just something that's been a part of my frame of mind for a long time. I really believe that we should be ourselves and get paid for it.
Wait, I love this. I don't know if you know this. Did I tell you this already? I made a personal brand deck, just like
for me on my personality.
Exactly. I think that's so important.
Have I showed this to you yet?
No.
Okay, this will be for off the mic. But as you're saying this, I'm like, oh my God, I did this for myself. I'm literally like the Zoolander moment. Like, who am I? Like,
exactly.
Literally had that moment.
I think we all have that moment at some point. We get to that moment at some point. And it's just like an important, it can be sort of a life-changing moment or an aha moment. Mm-hmm. I think it's also, it's part of my talent. It's part of my intuition. It's part of my zone of genius, as my friend and guru Khan likes to put it. I'll introduce concepts about him later.
The concept of Khan.
The concept of Khan. But it's just like really important to me to get information from others. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's so much clearer to hear from the outside.
Yeah.
What you end up projecting.
The reflection, which is so beautiful. And I'm thinking about your astrology because obviously the second I saw your chart, it was committed to memory. Mm-hmm. You have so much beautiful Libra at the forefront of beautifying, but also reflecting to people, right?
Like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Libra really holds up a mirror. Mm-hmm. So people can see themselves. So you can see yourselves in others. It's very relational. Yes. And the branding exercise, even if you do know yourself, sometimes holding a mirror up and doing that reflection and doing that sort of like taking inventory is a really powerful and, like you said, transformative exercise. And
absolutely.
Then you have all this Scorpio depth, Virgo precision. Obviously, I'm a big fan of your chart. Lots of gifts.
I'm becoming one now. Thank you for putting it that way.
Oh my gosh,
I used to think it was problematic because of the Scorpio element, the death card, the transformation. I am often a mirror. And until I understood how to hone how I communicated it, I didn't understand that directness wasn't maybe always welcomed, you know? but I'm definitely that girl that, you know, I'll be happy to tell you things maybe you don't want to hear, maybe it's hard to hear.
Sure.
But you definitely need to.
Yeah.
I've lost friends over that, but I've watched them adopt what I said anyway, and it changed their lives and improve it. And I go, I guess I had to sacrifice like a friendship that I loved having for their growth. Aww, and that's okay.
That's so selfless.
I had to just kind of go, I know it was hard to hear that. I know I was the one who presented that to you, but if it did better for you, then that's okay.
Yeah.
You know? And but now taking it on and owning it in coaching means people are ready.
That's so true. They're coming to you ready for the advice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's different in a friendship. Sometimes it's hard to hear things.
Yes, absolutely.
But when someone's seeking it out, they go, hey, give it to me straight. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And I've also learned how to put things gently.
Yeah.
Or when to introduce the information.
You're like, I can be direct, but also gentle.
Yeah. My less mature version, you know, maybe was a little... was still learning.
And that's on self-awareness. Like,
yeah, you know, we're not perfect. And when I say I'm a coach or when I have mentored, it's not because I know everything.
So true, right?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I just am very curious about the human experience.
Yep.
And I enjoy asking questions, you know, and I enjoy being curious about your journey just as much as mine. I see my journey reflected in other people's, so that's okay.
That's gorgeous. I love this. Okay, so that's how you sort of got into this field of coaching. You transitioned from branding. I would love to also just ask, what brought you to Paris?
What brought me to Paris? That's a great question. So it's a long story, but in short, the life I tried to fulfill for everyone else's expectations in the U.S., I failed. I failed hard. I tried to be this corporate girly. Nope. Yeah. I tried to do this like traditional relationship and stick around where my family grew up and, you know, just kind of fit into everyone else's boxes. And none of it worked. I fell flat on my face. And at that point, I just said, you know what? I tried 100% at this. And now that I fell flat on my face, I feel unapologetic about just doing what I need to do for me.
I love it.
And so I felt less afraid to tell my family, like, hey, I'm just going to do me now, you know? Yeah. So I had this plan to design my life. I called a girlfriend of mine. We were both going through, I lost a job, lost a relationship. I was going through a divorce, as was she. And I said, this is a pivotal moment. Like, nothing I've built my life on is working. So foundation's gone. I'm going to rebuild it from the ground up. I'm going to design my life. I'm going to go to Tulum, meditate for a few weeks on the beach.
As one does.
As one does. And I'm just going to think about what life I want to design for myself. And she's like, I'm meeting you there. She happened to have moved to Paris, both of us having been from San Francisco Bay Area. And when I told her my plan, I said, I'm just going to go freelance and I'm going to travel, you know, while I do my career. I picked a career that I could do freelance from home,
right?
Which is creative work.
Yep. Gives you a lot of freedom.
On purpose, yeah. You know, but I never took advantage of it. So then finally I said, I'm going to. She goes, well, why don't you do it from Paris with me? So she was breaking up with her guy. He moved out. She's like, move in. So I did.
It's the perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
Kismet.
Exactly. And with the grace of her welcoming me, I was able to stay here for a year before realizing I was in love with the city.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd fall in love. I had no plan.
Happens every time.
I was just open-hearted about it.
Yeah.
It worked.
Totally. Yeah. Like when I first got here, I was like, I don't know how long I'll be. And then...
Yeah.
5 minutes later, I think I'm never leaving.
Exactly. Yeah. It's and the dating here shocked me. It was one of the first experiences I had here was in the dating realm.
Yeah.
Because I moved February 5th. And then I had a date. Me and my girlfriend both had a date by Valentine's Day.
That's amazing. That's so funny. I got asked out, I think, the first day I moved here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's a different world.
Yeah. It feels really different.
Yeah. It's refreshing. Yeah. No, I love it. And that's like a perfect segue into what else we're going to get into. But it's so funny. As you were talking about trying to fit into a life that wasn't necessarily made for you and you fell flat on your face, it reminded me instantly, like, you know, when you just get a flash of an image immediately. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever went snowboarding, my friends were like, oh, you're probably Goofy Foot. And they strapped me into the snowboard, Goofy Foot. And I was like, for sure.
It's a cute term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fell flat on my face. Mm-hmm. Immediately fell flat on my face because I wasn't supposed to be in that way. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the second I switched to regular stance, I was like, oh, I can go forward now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's like, how it felt.
As you were saying it, I'm like, oh, like she was trying to fit into like a backwards life for her.
Totally.
Anyway, thank you for listening to my snowboarding metaphor.
I'm adopting it now.
Thank you so much. Okay. So you got to Paris. Dating is like right off the bat happening.
Yeah.
And you have developed a dating technique. We have talked about this off mic and it's why I've invited you today among many other things. But there's a nugget within your method, which is a multi-part method that you call leading with sweetness. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start with leading with sweetness or talk about like the overall like outline of your method and then we'll get into it?
That's a great question. I think I am going to tell you where it came from.
Cool. Okay. Tell us the origin story. Your villain origin story. Just kidding.
So you understand where I'm coming from. And, you know, I'm early days in developing this. It's actually been about a hypothesis that I have. So
we love.
I'm not ready to call it a technique. Maybe a tactic.
Okay.
And
a dating hypothesis.
But it's based on a hypothesis, absolutely. And gathering information. I'm very scientific at the moment in my life. Because absolutely everything I'm doing, we're doing in general is brand new.
Yeah.
So I just have to hypothesize and say, I think this is what's going to work for me. So let me try this, you know? Again, I don't know what I'm doing. This isn't about landing the man at all. It's actually about arriving at the truth as soon as possible.
Ooh.
And the reason I say that is because for me, the truth is very healing. I am Scorpio. I am the death card. I am the mirror. And once I can see the lay of the land, then I know how to react to it. And I think so many of us women struggle with not knowing what the heck is going on. We don't know why we're single if we have all this fabulousness going on.
Preach.
Once we meet a guy and he seems to like us, we don't know why he's not texting with the same frequency. We don't know why something changed or shifted. We don't know. There's just so many moments where we're perplexed. And we don't know why he ghosted us or blocked us. I mean, all of this can be so shocking along the way. And I actually think we struggle less with, is it a yes or is it a no? Do you like me or not? Even if you said no, I at least know how to deal with that. I can grieve and move on.
Right. Clarity.
Clarity. Absolutely. Yeah. And so this method or this tactic is, it's called leading with sweetness because I think we've been doing the opposite for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Where this frame of mind came from is a couple of things. One, we came from a generation of women that understood the role of a woman to be one thing and the role of a man to be another. And every generation they saw prior to that as an example had that quite clear. And then they redesigned it a little bit, shifted it. They became working women, etc. And then they observed what they didn't like about it. And then they taught us, hey, you better not put up with this from a man. Be independent. Make your own money. Right. You know, and so this generation that's led up to Gen Z, so I'm referring more so to like the millennial into the Gen Z experience, has been sort of about becoming an independent woman, being a girl boss,
right?
Making the money you want to make, treating yourself the way you want to be treated by a man in a way. You know?
This is to clarify, if you didn't pick up already, we're speaking more about heterosexual, like heteronormative relationships, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely very much speaking about heteronormative relationships. I can't speak on anything else because I'm just going to speak on my experience.
Perfect.
And this is a very personal hypothesis about my own experience. I've shared it with friends and they organically picked it up. And so I found value in that and I want to continue sharing it.
Yeah.
That is my only intention. So back to where this came from, a lot of messages came to me. I'm in my 40s. And so we're talking about a 40-year time frame from the 80s until now, where the consistent message has been, be a girl boss, you know, own your own house, make your own money, do your own thing. And the guy is just a cherry on top of the sundae and he better treat you all these ways or else he's out. You know what I mean? And divorce is totally a possibility. And guess what it is today in society, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see it playing out. We see it then get absorbed into pop culture. Can you pay my bills? You know, like, if not to the left, to the left. You know what I mean? Like, we are hearing this empowered woman go, I'm not putting up with anything, right?
Yeah.
However, has she even invited him in the first place yet? So the concept is leading with sweetness, because I think we've been coaching each other for the past so many decades to expect a lot from men up front, you know, like open the door for me, pay for the, you know, dates. And, you know, if he's not, is he a gentleman? We don't know. We're feeling a little, ugh, you know. However, we haven't even shown him who we are yet. So as an example, I'm very heavily talking about the digital dating age that we live in today.
Right.
Okay. So imagine you're on an app. I'm going to put this really simply just because we're on a shorter time frame, but I don't mean to overgeneralize men's thoughts and women's ways.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
But just for the simplicity of getting this point across, look, we as women, we're on this dating app. We put the cutest pictures we can find of ourselves and some authentic ones too, and some ones that tell stories about us and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, as much as we want to express all that in our dating app, to men, we're just like a hot chick in a photo. And so
true.
He swiped on us.
Yeah.
And he's like, hot chick in a photo. Ooh, look, another hot chick in a photo. So it's just one hot chick in
it's
a
like
photo.
It's like Pokemon cards of hot chicks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And while we're analyzing the background of their photo and the decor in their apartment, and like, does his family look like they'd vibe with our family? Like, ooh, he has a dog. He's empathetic. I don't know. Whatever we're analyzing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I think men are mostly like, ooh, hot chick in a photo.
Yeah.
Right? How do we differentiate ourselves in that? How do we let a man know, hey, I'm different and I'm that gal that you want to treat in these ways that we're demanding, right? Matthew Hussey is a relationship expert. He has a very lucrative career. I don't know if I subscribe to absolutely everything, but he had this one concept that was really interesting about the fact that women actually initiate in the dating world.
Interesting.
Okay.
Because that's not what we're told.
That's not the general message we get in like pop culture and dating culture today.
Let
and
him
as we
pursue
talk to
you.
Ourselves. Let him pursue you, be in your feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not doing anything and when you least expect it, that's when it happens.
It's one of my least favorite things.
not really.
Yeah.
Because he was proposing that, let's say in the Victorian days, a lady of stature would be promenading herself through the town as one
God,
does.
What I wouldn't give.
And if she crossed a lovely gentleman whom she wanted to speak to or who she wanted to invite to speak to him, she would drop her gloves.
Right.
In his direction.
I watched Bridgerton. I saw this.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like this is the vibe, right?
Yeah.
And what that was supposed to do was supposed to allow him, give him entry to come and speak to her. So the fun version, and if you ever watch Sex and the City, like feel that vibe, okay? So that was my 20s. And so when we're talking about late 90s, early 2000s.
The glorious Y2K era.
Yes. It was so fun because we'd all get ready and feel so cute. And we'd go to these venues where we thought there'd be cute boys. We're talking about the school dances. We're talking about clubs and bars and all the fun stuff, right? So you get cute and you go to the thing and you're like, there's going to be cute boys there. So our version of dropping the white glove, initiating dating contact, initiating like, hey, come talk to me because I think I like you, was we'd walk into a room, walk into the bar, walk into the discotheque, and that's such a French word.
Discotheque.
We'd walk in and then you'd scan and you'd do eye contact.
Yeah.
And then the guy that you lingered with, that meant you're allowed to come and talk to me. Like, I hope you do.
You gave him an opening.
Totally. And yeah. He would.
Yeah.
And it was so fun, this game you play, you know? You lock eyes with the guy and he would come talk to you. We don't have a version of that today.
No, bring back eye contact.
I know. I wish we could. However, we're all having eye contact with our phones, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have access to the phone. That's the problem, actually. So what I feel like is happening is men are, they might even be in the discotheque and in the bar, but they feel safer swiping on the girl in their phone than going to the girl that's sitting right in front of him. So because of that, this, like, what are we supposed to do now to kind of let a guy know? So yeah, you would think that swiping on a guy is enough. It's not, because we're all swiping on each other, mm-hmm. you know? And so,
and it doesn't feel personal. It's just like a game.
Yeah. It's too gamified. And so what ends up happening is, even though we've swiped on someone and that means I like you, okay, you like me, cool, let's talk, you're still left in a huge pool. So statistically, so how do we even stand out or kind of make a gesture that says it's safe for you to talk to me? I think at the end of the day, men are looking for a little bit of safety.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's why I can't go so deep into this concept, but I'm just going to touch upon the fact that men need safety too in today's society. And I feel like they're not feeling it because we've been bashing them. Yeah. We've been telling them, can you pay my bills?
Yeah.
We've been getting our education and then making the same or more money, even though there's a lot of room for improvement in that area. So men are feeling like, oh, is she going to Me Too movement on me? Is it going to be too much? Am I crossing lines? Am I the bad guy? Guys are hating being the bad guy today. So getting back to this initial moment of trying to drop your white glove, my suggestion is to lead with sweetness. So many of us think that we should be neutral or cool, play it cool, and then let the guy show us that he values us. And then once we've had enough conversations and enough time has passed and enough dates, then maybe we start to open up to him.
Right.
Right? And we start to show him our sweetness. Women today, we're dying to feel like we're in love. I mean, I think people are.
Yeah.
And what I'm proposing with leading with sweetness is starting with the love and sweetness that you want to experience.
Okay.
Okay.
Which inherently makes you a little more vulnerable.
You would think that.
Okay.
You would think that. But
I
actually,
sure did.
let me play out a scenario for you.
Okay.
Okay. My girlfriend, she took a month to talk to a guy that she connected with on an app. Good for her that the guy consistently talked to her for a month. I mean, they're talking, they're texting, good mornings and good nights and things like that. She actually had to force his hand to finally go on a date.
Wow.
But it happened. By the time this happened, they had gotten to know each other and become so friendly and kind of used to, she got really used to having this regular contact with him. Mm-hmm. Then she decided to be sweet.
Okay.
It was at that point that he shifted.
Weird.
And you know what? That happens a lot.
Okay.
We invest a lot of time and effort into a guy while we hold back.
Right.
And then it's that culmination, that moment where we decide, okay, you've been vulnerable by pursuing me, paying, opening these doors, being the one to initiate texts and calls and things like that. Okay, finally, I'm going to kind of, you know, return the buck.
Right.
And oftentimes, that's when we discover the truth about how he feels, because this is a moment the guy might get scared. he might realize, like, oh, she's serious. So I better be ready for this.
Right. Okay.
Okay. You could disagree or not, but I'm actually painting a picture of so many stories so many of my girlfriends have told me.
Like, right.
And the perplexed moment is them going, what? Why did he call me so many times? Why did he introduce me to his family? There's so many things that have happened along this trajectory before we've decided to be show him our sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what? Why did he put all this effort? We talked for so long. We went on all these dates. Why the second I then open up to
him? I soften. Yeah.
I soften. Where the heck is he? You know?
Right.
Okay, so my hypothesis with all this information was, what if we turn that inside out? Because sometimes actually guys didn't even give me a chance to be the sweetness. Sometimes they disappeared even before I got to show them like who I really am. And I was like, man, I used to tell my girlfriends, I'm like, he doesn't even know what it's like to be with me and how like awesome that would be.
Right.
He has no idea how my sweetness would like just make him feel so gooey and awesome and ready to conquer the world, you know? And I'm like, what if I showed him that to start? So an example of that, and there's many examples and it's very nuanced. It's kind of personal.
Of course, yeah.
So all of this rule is. Number one in all of this is you have to be 100% honest and 100% authentic. It's not about faking it. So for example, one way of being sweet is complimenting a guy and that being like the first interaction you have.
I've heard this often actually from like straight guys I've talked to, we don't get complimented a lot.
No.
So when you compliment us, it's actually a really big deal. Like you girls are so used to getting compliments.
Absolutely.
But when we hear it, it's like kind of electric. I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah. I feel like when do men get complimented? When do boys get complimented? But from their mom.
I'm like every day via the patriarchy and society, but like, yeah, no, that makes so much
well,
sense. Like
catered
the,
to
the like words of affirmation, right? Like maybe that is a love language for a lot of guys. Maybe hearing something nice does speak to their love language.
Very often men get it once they're in a relationship. And sure, they get plenty of support sort of in society in general. But imagine in the dating process, that doesn't often happen, especially in the beginning.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And what I'm proposing is like, how do you stand out when you're just another hot girl in a photo? But by authentically trying to connect with him, I mean, think about like you saw something in this guy, you've analyzed something about whatever he's presenting that stood out to you and made you go, you're cool.
Mm-hmm.
So like, why not tell him?
Yeah.
Why not tell him, like, you're cool because,
well, I think
I don't know.
There is the fear of risk, right? Like,
right.
It's sort of what I alluded to earlier, like, there's a vulnerability in being sweet, or I guess maybe the fear of rejection, right? I'm just trying to think through, like, the thought process.
Sure.
Like, okay, like, if I say something really nice, what if it's not reciprocated?
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just making
this
up.
Here's the answer to that. It hurts so much more once this guy's gotten to know you for a month of talking to you than if he just never answered this first message you sent him.
Yeah.
That's like sliding into a celebrity's DMs and being like, you're hot. And if he never answers, you're not worried about that.
Are you speaking from experience?
No, not at all.
For sure.
No, but I mean, it should feel like that. It should feel like the equivalent of one of those drive-by compliments us Americans love to give to people. Where it's like, love your shoes. If they don't turn around and go, your scarf's amazing, we don't care.
Yeah, right. We're not going to sweat it.
It's a throwaway. It's a very much a not sweat it moment because when you haven't invested, there's no investment. There's no risk.
Yeah, you're just being nice to be nice.
You're just being nice.
Wait,
so you're
I love
leading
that.
With
it's sort
sweetness.
Of like, not total detachment, but you're not attached to an outcome so much. You're just...
Absolutely.
Ooh, I love this.
Yeah.
Okay. Because like I'm thinking about when I give someone a compliment, I'm not expecting reciprocity.
No. Right? Especially a stranger, imagine.
Yeah. I'm just like giving
Who
a compliment.
Cares? Yeah. And it ties into like this whole philosophy by which you could live your life. I do believe it has like Buddhist origins and it has something to do with before you engage your ego, before you engage your emotions, hang back a bit and observe the information.
Okay.
And so the concept goes a lot of leading with sweetness, leading with the love you'd like to feel, like you'd like to end up feeling.
Right.
Lead with it, but with no emotional attachment.
Right. And that's maybe the hardest part, right?
Right.
I think a lot of people go into dating and it's very emotional. It's very personal. It's very vulnerable.
But the least emotional moment is that very beginning.
Okay. That's a good thing to remind people
of, You haven't invested anything. He doesn't know anything about you.
Yeah.
You're just a girl in a photo, a hot girl in a photo to him.
And the response or the lack of response, whatever it is, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not the mirror.
It'll be the easiest thing to not take personal.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the easiest moment to not take personal. And it's also such a great revealer of truth.
And that's basically your thesis, right? Like, how do we get to the truth as quickly as possible?
As quickly as possible. So let me give you a couple scenarios. I decided to exercise this hypothesis with a set of guys that just came my way for some reason. It was so dry all year long last year. I was just, you know, in the desert. For so long in the mail department. It's funny, the new year happened, and then I think a bunch of this is what I'm imagining. A bunch of guys realized how lonely they were.
Yeah.
And then just came knocking on my door, I guess. So I was like, okay, hi. And my attitude was very just like, ding dong, hello, hi, how may I help you?
Yeah, nonchalant.
Very nonchalant. So it's about hanging back in terms of your expectations and just like, hi, how can I help you? What are you presenting?
Okay.
What are you selling, salesman, at my door?
Okay.
Okay. Emotionally.
Yeah.
You know? And, but by the way, I have no problem showing you some sweetness.
Right.
I'm going to give you a snippet of what it feels like to be in a relationship with me. This is the sweetest version of me. So.
This is my loss leader.
I experimented with that. And okay. I said, let me show my femininity. Let me show how sweet it is to be with me. And give them little snippets,
you know?
I'm not saying bend over backwards for them.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not saying lower your standards and do it endlessly.
And you're
just
not
saying start even, with that.
You're not even investing emotionally.
No.
So leading with sweetness does not equate to leading with emotional investment.
Exactly.
I feel like that's a good
thing. Thank you for differentiating that.
Yeah, because it's, you know, I think being sweet is such an emotional thing. It doesn't have to be. It
doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So an easy way to look at it is, you know how they say if you're afraid of public speaking, imagine everybody naked? What they're essentially saying is imagine them vulnerable, more vulnerable than you, right?
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
So you're in a power position,
okay?
So in dating, something that happens for me when I fall in love with a guy is I see their inner little boy, their inner little child.
Yeah.
And I'm like, exactly. See, that feeling comes out. Oh. And so...
like tenderness.
Tenderness, yeah. And so imagine... this guy's a little boy. He has a little boy inside.
Yeah.
You know? So speak to that little boy. Don't speak to some intimidating man, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's like an easy way to get yourself there, but it has to be 100% authentic and real. I'm not talking about fake it. I'm not talking about like search for something to compliment him about or anything like that. No. Just whatever comes to you, there is a reason you picked this guy and you swiped on him. Embellish on it or let him know. So, scenario. All these guys came my way, and I'm going to give you like the difference between two of them. One of them, let's call him London Boy.
London Boy.
Okay. I saw one photo of him where he had the cutest smile. Like he got those sort of half moon eyes when he smiled, and it made me think like, oh my God, he must have been such a cute little boy. So I told him, I said, you know, after the hi, hello, I had no problem being the one to initiate the conversation. I said, I'm sorry, in that photo, you have the cutest smile. You must have been such a cute little boy. Okay? That was the compliment I gave him. On another guy, he was just good looking, but he took photos in such a way where it seemed like he didn't know he was. You know, he was, you know, you see photos where guys think they're like the influencer model of the year or
something. I sure do.
You can tell they're into themselves. Yeah. They're giving blue steel and you're like, oh my God, that's cringy. Okay. There's guys who think and know that they're good looking. And then there's guys who take photos and like it's like they don't know they're good looking. So this guy was like that. So I told him, okay, you're so cute. I hope you're not a catfish, you know? And so that was my compliment to him.
Love.
I'm not implicating that you always have to give a superficial or like things about their visual
appearance.
But I think it does work because men don't get that very often. Women do.
It's true. I've been hearing it a lot.
Right? I think either appearance or masculinity, like, wow, I can imagine like putting my hand around your arm, it's or your bicep, or I don't know, who knows? Like your hands look so strong, like that's so manly, I love that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, appeal to masculinity, it could be his looks.
Okay.
there's a number of things you could appeal to, but definitely be authentic.
Suss it out like an experiment.
Sure. Experiment with it. So let me give you the difference in how they reacted and how that revealed the truth quite quickly. Okay. So London boy, I'm like, you must have been a cute little boy. Guess what he did in response? He took that opportunity to continue talking about himself. He goes, yeah, I was just, a little kid with a bowl cut and a gap tooth or something like that. Yeah. I'm like, cute. Okay. And then
there's nothing to continue
place for
of.
Me to continue talking. Yeah. So anyway, but we did. And okay. I just was asking like, where are you from? La, 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 et cetera, background stuff. So anyway, I'll give you that's his reaction. The other guy's reaction was to compliment me back.
Okay.
Okay. Here's some information already.
Yeah.
This guy over here who decided to continue talking about himself, mm-hmm. I can already assess from that this is about him. This experience of dating is about him.
Right.
Okay. The other guy who complimented me back, first of all, he's able to give me a compliment.
Right.
Okay. I grew up with a father who every time my mom got ready, every day that she got ready, she'd walk out and he'd be like, wow. You know, yes. That's my wife.
Like the guy on TikTok who calls his wife Pookie. It's like, Pookie's looking exactly. Fire today.
Like, so cute. It's part of like a love language need for me. So
yeah, totally.
That was
the words
great
of affirmation.
Information.
Yeah.
I had nothing invested with either of these guys. This was great information right off the bat.
Right.
And guess what? It reflected on the rest of our conversation.
Interesting. So it was a pattern that repeated.
Absolutely.
Your hypothesis was correct for each of them.
Let me tell you something else that it did. And why it continues to reveal the truth. When you initiate with sweetness, guys feel comfortable and safe to be themselves. Okay. Imagine the alternative that we normally do is these dry conversations like, oh, hey, how's your weekend? Yeah, how's your weekend? Oh, I was just getting back from this trip. Oh, you went on that trip? Cool, I've been there. I don't know, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. You could do that for so long.
So true.
And like, what information are you getting
it's just
about
empty.
Their character?
Yeah.
Anyone can talk about their weekend or like, oh, how's work? I don't know, whatever these dry conversations are. Or like cool profile. That's not enough. It's not personal. It's not, what does that get you? You know, you have to think about, I want to understand who this person is.
Okay.
By showing them a bit of who I am and what I see in you.
Right.
Okay. So the other thing it does is it makes a man feel comfortable quite quickly. Okay, so now they're like, this girl likes me. All right, I'm going to feel comfortable too. So London boy felt comfortable to say, hey, I like that yoga video you did on Instagram. Can I get a part two? Okay, this is more information of what this guy's looking for.
For right? sure. Yeah.
He wants a private video sent to him.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, I get it. I'd want it for you.
Mm-hmm. If we were just talking about our weekend and like, oh, what trip we went on and like, oh, cool, like have a great day at work or whatever. Like, would I get that information?
You're not getting any information.
He's not going to suddenly randomly talk about something he thinks he's complimenting me probably.
This is so like Scorpio investigative work. Like,
I'm kind of that way. Now the other guy,
his
compliments continued, you know?
Ah.
And every time I took another step and I was just like, you know, speaking to him, we ended up having a date. And for 3 hours, he didn't talk about himself. He told me, I mean, he opened up to me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas the other guy's self-centered.
There's still like a wall.
There's a wall emotionally. This guy opened up about himself while also continuing to compliment me.
Cool.
By the end of that date, I continued with the sweetness and I said, complimented his masculinity. I said, thank you so much for opening up to me. It allowed me to open up to you. And that really takes someone making me feel safe. I find that really masculine. So thank you for that. He loved it. He sopped it up.
Yeah.
I couldn't give that compliment to the other guy because he didn't get me there. Right?
Yeah.
This guy that I'm talking about that provided the safety for me, we've continued.
Mister, you don't know you're beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
He continued the sweet energy.
Cool.
And I only knew it because I started with a compliment and he was able to compliment me back.
We love an A-B test.
Yeah, like it was absolutely an A-B test. Yeah.
Working in marketing really, really applies here. But no, I'm so serious. That's really cool to be able to see such an interesting difference.
Yeah. See, like basically give someone a little sugar and see what they do with it.
Okay.
You know, Are they able to handle it? Are they able to give it back?
Yeah.
That shows a lot of character, especially from the beginning. If a guy can do that from the beginning, that's a great guy.
And that's what everyone really wants from the beginning is as much clarity as possible.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. This is a man who, as we've continued to develop our connection, he's had no trouble sort of establishing, like, what are you looking for? And then telling me what he's looking for, et cetera, and
right.
opening up. And to me, that's true in intimacy.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I think to women, that's what makes us feel close to them.
Cool.
Yeah. Whereas the other guy reduced himself to emojis as his way of communicating.
Like, instead it's of saying, evolved from send hello, a vid to emojis.
Yeah. Instead of saying hello, he'd send me, like, I don't know, a beaver floating emoji. It's like, what is that supposed to be? I don't know.
What?
Low level, low effort, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, interesting. I gave this guy sweetness, and this is what he did with it. He gave me low effort back.
Okay, but cool. You got your answers.
Thanks. And I said, thank you very much for showing me exactly who you are. Ciao.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, gosh. The next step was him asking me for some sexy photo, probably.
Yeah, 100%. So that's like, where it was going to go. And I mean, you know what? If that's what someone is looking for,
totally.
Power to your sister.
That
but like, at least you know up front.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm actually in a position right now where I'm not necessarily looking for the most serious relationship I've ever been in.
Yeah.
I'm open to even someone who's okay with a short term. That doesn't mean I have to lower my standards. The concept of leading with sweetness is having a big heart, but very low tolerance for bullshit.
I love that.
Okay.
Big heart, low BS
tolerance.
Doesn't
mean lower your standards. Absolutely not.
Okay.
In fact, the next level of this is about exacting your standards.
Okay.
And because you've been sweet with him, he's ready to receive that information because he's taking notes because he's like, I like this girl.
Yeah.
Most of us women end up exacting our standards in the middle of a fight.
Oh, true.
And that
after they've already messed up.
After a guy's, they wait till a guy messes up and then they're like, wait, I don't like this behavior of yours.
Yeah, and it's like, but you didn't tell me the rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, when you lead with sweetness, you got this guy like putty in your hands, you're having a great time, you end up having a date, you're laughing, everything's going really nicely. That's a perfect moment to go, but hey, playfully, I'm going to tell you my standards right now. That doesn't mean you can X and Y and Z. Whatever your standard is, you know, like it can naturally come out in a conversation.
Sure.
You know, like,
okay.
Like you can flirt and then be like, yeah, I like this flirt, but that doesn't mean you can X and Y and Z with me.
Yeah, totally.
You know, guess what? The guy's going to love to hear the information at that point because he's like really into you at this point. And he's like, I think I'm going to at least get her in bed. At most, like, but I think I like this girl. Oh, she needs this and that and the other? No problem. I'm taking notes. Yeah, I'm going to do that thing.
Right.
When we exact our standards in the middle of a fight, that's when a guy is getting defensive and he's like, oh, okay, I'm the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not, they don't want to hear it. They're like, oh, you're just nagging. You know, it's another area of revealing the truth. It's an area where you get to exact your standards, but demonstrate this confidence. I'm a confident girl. I can give you these compliments. I can give you this sweetness. Doesn't mean you can cross the line.
Right. You're sweet. You're not a doormat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't confuse the sweetness with like passivity or whatever the word I'm looking for is. Like,
yeah. And if you decide to practice this, don't confuse it yourself either.
Right.
You know, like own whatever sweetness you're about to give away. Own that you're willing to give it away without any expectations.
Right.
The point is to observe them once you've done it.
Okay.
Not bag him.
For sure.
Not manipulate him and be like, this is going to get him to fall in love with me.
Because it's not a game.
It's not a game. And the point is you don't even know him enough if you want to bag him.
Yeah.
You need to gather information about a man as you get to know him. 3, 6 months, 12 months worth of information. You need to know a guy through all of his seasons and all of his...
Yeah.
Moods and behaviors. You need to see them in different contexts.
So you're approaching with sweetness, you're leading with sweetness and curiosity at
Absolutely.
The same time.
Yeah.
You're a sweet scientist, women in STEM.
I love that. Yeah.
No, I love this. And it does kind of give you the sense of empowerment that I think many are seeking through those means you were describing earlier by saying like, I'm my own sugar daddy. You're the cherry on top. You got to pay my bills. Like,
it's you valid. Need to know my value. How does he know your value? He doesn't know you yet.
Right.
We're having these funny expectations of men. Like,
yeah. I think it's valid to want those things.
Absolutely.
It's the method of going about getting them. And mm-hmm. it's like, are you hitting someone over the head with it?
Right.
Are you presenting it in a sweet way or a direct way or whatever? I guess you can be sweet and direct, right?
I think a lot of us thought that sass was the way to go about it.
For some people, maybe.
You know, and yeah, that does work for some mm-hmm. dynamics. Sure. Yeah. Do you want to be in that dynamic? I personally don't want to be in a dynamic where I have to be sassy with my guy to get something out of him. You know,
that just reminded me, everyone has asked me, have you read that book, Why Men Love Bitches? And I obviously haven't because it's me, but.
Yeah, that's the energy of it sometimes.
Yeah. You know? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So my proposal is give him a little peek of what it's like to feel your love. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be in love. So be in love already.
Yeah.
Live in love.
Yeah. Like if your vibe is in love with life and love with yourself, like.
Yeah.
It's in love vibes.
I don't know if for those of you who have read The Mastery of Love or The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
I love The Four Agreements.
Mm-hmm. The Mastery of Love, it suggests that because we have so much love, it's this prolific oven. It's like the equivalent of this proverb that they, is it a proverb, a parable? I don't remember. Anyway,
same thing.
a story that was being told, a metaphoric story that was being told where imagine you have this prolific oven that makes all the food you could ever desire. So you have this kitchen full of food constantly. So when a delivery man comes with some cheap $5 pizza and arrives at your door and says, oops, I delivered the pizza to the wrong door, but do you want it? You're going to go, nah, I have like a gourmet meal inside. Do you want some though? It's kind of like the cup overflow.
Yeah.
When you have love, you're not desperate for whatever comes knocking at your door.
So true.
But you're ready to give it away and then see like, do you want to come in?
Yeah.
And if not, like, I'm good. I'm fine. You can mm-hmm. come in or not. Like, I still have this prolific oven. I still have this like amazing situation. So when I present this idea, it does come with a disclaimer that and a preface that one has to have done the work on themselves.
Right. There's some pre-sweetness groundwork.
Pre-sweetness groundwork. There is a whole exercise of knowing who we are. Defining what success means to you with regard to relationships. Knowing your boundaries. And absolutely having worked on self-love. Doesn't mean you have to be there and be totally ready, but be very conscious of loving yourself because if you're going to live in love and be able to give it away, you have to have a cup full to be giving from.
Yeah.
You can't have droplets in there and be trying to give away this love. You're going to be in too much of a vulnerable situation. You have to feel like you deserve it back, which means you have to have the self-love work.
And that can be a really tough component, tough piece of that puzzle for a lot of people.
Yeah. So you can't just dive into this. It could be dangerous because you might not be calibrated in such a way where you understand where the lines are crossed.
Right.
So once I am able to fully develop this methodology, this tactic, this hypothesis, I'll be happy to share like the steps it takes to get there and then how valuable this can be once you are there.
Yeah, I was going to say our next episode.
I think a lot of us are.
We're doing this the next episodes. We're going to do the groundwork in our second episode of Dating with Danny.
I love that. But honestly, I meet so many fantastic women out there, like package deals constantly.
Yeah.
You know, and we've done a lot of work on ourselves. I see it. I recognize it. And we're like, what now?
Yeah.
So this is a little bit of the what now.
I love the what now. Thank you.
I think a lot of our men have to do a lot of this groundwork of self-love and understanding their value. And I'd love to be part of the puzzle of like helping them get there because we're over here bashing men a lot in society today.
Yeah, it's hard. Like we see a lot of stuff that reinforces the desire to want to do that, right? Like we don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. We see all this stuff about the first thing that comes to my mind is the girl who was like raped on Rue de Rivoli in broad daylight. Like just people are by, and it's like, oh my God, we feel so unsafe around men.
Yeah.
Like 80% of the violent crimes are committed by men. And then we apply that fear to every male we encounter. Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard place to be because we want love from the people we fear.
Yeah. There's a lot of separation going on in society today in general. And it's happening between the sexes. And yeah, we're feeding into it a bit, into all these messages of like, men suck, you know? And you know what? There's a lot of sucky stuff that's been going on, yes. But what do we do about it? We need to coach our men and love our men back.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping this is part of that story of getting our society back to a place
of love.
Yeah, where we can allow our guys to be loving too.
Yeah, totally. I love that. It just reminded me, I saw TikTok probably yesterday, and it was like, if you want love from men, you can't also hate them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I like, and I just want to honor and like recognize why some women might feel that way and be in a space of fear and hate and rejection. Like, I totally understand.
Absolutely. It's not for no reason.
Yep.
But there's a little bit of like, what do we do about it then?
Yeah.
We've got to come with a solution. We can't just continue bashing them. Yeah. We're going to push them further away and further into unhealthy behaviors that where they're going to go, well, you think I'm a bad guy anyway, so I guess I will be.
Yeah.
You know?
That sucks.
So instead, let's teach them like what we want to see from them and see if they're able to respond.
Leading by example with sweetness. I love it. Dang, thank you so much. This was so fun. So exploratory. Ooh. I love an investigative women in STEM moment. Loving the hypothesis. Cannot wait for the future developments. I would love to have you back here to continue as a series.
Yes. Oh. I love a series.
Some more self-love and getting out there and dating and feeling in love with life and maybe another person. I just think this would be so great for all of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I absolutely appreciate the platform to put this out. I'm not there yet myself, but I hope to be.
Now you are. This is your platform, your mic forever. And if people want to connect with you online, would you say TikTok, Instagram? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll link all that in the show description too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you some links. Just know that I am brand new.
Yeah.
But this has been a labor of love in my life. So I'm happily taking on folks who want to go on this journey with me.
Yeah.
And there'll be different formats for that. So I'm happy to do that.
Yay.
Yeah.
We love love. This is perfectly timed with love season, as I call it. Thank you again, Dani. And we can't wait to have you back on the show.
Me too. Thank you so much. I love you.
I love you.
I love Stella too.
To wrap up our little dating coaching session, I'm leaving you with a few Valentines to get yourself. If you can find Amarena truffles near you, they are made by Fabri, F-A-B-B-R-I, the Italian brand that makes the cherries themselves. You absolutely need them. Trust me, I bought some at Eataly and housed the entire bag. I am going to try to find you an online link before this episode goes live. Pray for me. If you can't find those, do yourself a favor and go get the Lindt dark chocolate sea salt bar. I ate three while I was PMSing, no big deal. If you like the Nuxe Protégé body oil, I think it's Protégé. Anyway, if you like the body oil, you need the candle. It smells divine, so luxurious, and you can usually find them pretty cheap, like way less money than Diptyque, and the fragrance is so elegant. Also, I said this in another episode recently, but the Nuxe Rêve de Miel body wash, you need it. I'm toying with the idea of getting myself a Dior perfume for Valentine's Day. Ooh, Jasmin des Anges and La Colle Noire are two of my favorites right now. They are floral. So if you're into floral scents, I am this time of year, a little bouquet vibe. These ones might be for you too. And if you want to go the lingerie route, that's always an option. There's super cute stuff at Agent Provocateur on sale right now. I will link to that obviously as well. Let's leave it there, babes. I hope you learned so much, that you're feeling both sweet and empowered, and that this inspired a little curiosity and investigation of your own. Let us know how your experimenting goes. Sending you big kisses, lots of love, happy Valentine's, happy romance month. See you next time. A bientôt. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of This Is Fine. I've been your host, Dominique Michelle Astorino. We're based in San Diego, recording in studio at DLI Productions in
Putty
Pacific Beach with Emmy Award-winning sound designer Dan De La Isla. This is a comedy and advice podcast, but for legal reasons, this entire podcast is a joke and none of it is medical advice. To download a transcript or learn more, visit thisisfinepodcast.com.